The following is a dialogue that is part of a larger project on the history of psychoanalysis in Egypt. And in this dialogue, I, Robert Bashara, interview Dr. Naveen Ziwer, who is a psychoanalyst and professor of psychology at the Ain Shams University. We talk about the history of psychoanalysis in Egypt and the work of her father, Dr. Mustafa Ziwer, who we argue is the true Arabic Freud and not Yusuf Murad. Of course, Dr. Mustafa Ziwer not only popularized psychoanalysis in the Arab world and in Egypt specifically, but he was the founder of the psychology department at Ain Shams University and trained many, many people that ended up becoming famous psychoanalysts, such as Mustafa Safwan, who was analyzed by Jacques Lacan in France and actually passed away recently. Welcome, everyone. My name is Robert Bashara, and today I am interviewing a very special guest who will tell us about her work, her father's work, and the history of psychoanalysis in Egypt more generally. Dr. Naveen Ziwer is a psychoanalyst and a professor of psychology at the Ain Shams University. She is the founder of the Arab Psychoanalytic Group in Cairo. She is the author of at least six books on psychoanalysis in Arabic, such as Psychological Disturbances Among Children and Adolescents, as well as On Psychological Reality. And she has also translated Sigmund Freud and Mustafa Safwan into Arabic. What did I forget to include, Dr. Naveen?
No, I don't think you did forget anything.
Okay.
Maybe the supervision of my students on their PhDs and master's degrees.
Fantastic. So my first question, Dr. Naveen, is how did you get into psychoanalysis?
It's obvious. It's because of my father defending the name of the father.
Okay. And why do you think psychoanalysis is important?
It is very important. Once you work and see how much it helps people to have a better life, you find it fascinating and quite self-satisfactory.
So please tell us about some of your research. I mentioned that you've translated some psychoanalytic texts into Arabic, but you've also published original research that I mentioned two books above. So walk us through some of your own research, if you will.
Well, I had a paper on female genital mutilation in Egypt, and another paper, which is published as an article in one of my books. It's about the Sufism and a trial of explaining what Sufism is in with psychoanalysis.
So do you see a connection between Sufism and psychoanalysis?
No, I interpreted some of the verses in psychoanalytic meanings with psychoanalytic interpretation.
So what were some of your findings in that paper? Because I'm sure a lot of listeners would be interested to learn more.
Of course, it's very well related to narcissism and other concepts.
So what are your guiding principles as a psychoanalyst? I ask this question with the knowledge that psychoanalysis is not merely a profession for you. We've talked before and you told me it's a passion. So would you kindly say more why you think it's a passion and not just a profession?
Well, it's a passion and it's a way of life for me, at least. I don't know for other analysts how it is, but for me, it's a way of life. Of course, I lived with a psychoanalyst at home, and he was a very special person. He was a very peaceful person and very quiet. And in my thinking, that somehow psychoanalysis, if you were psychoanalyzed, you become more inclusive and permissive, and you know, you understand life in a different way.
So it's a whole perspective on life, right? And it's a way of living as well.
Yeah.
So this next question is more about the history of psychoanalysis in Egypt and the work of the Arab psychoanalytic group in Cairo, or the Cairo group, which you founded. Yes. So if you want to tell us a little bit more about the history and then the work that your group does.
Okay, the history of psychoanalysis goes back way to the 30s of the 20th century, when Shukri Girgis, an Egyptian who studied in London, returned to his hometown, Alexandria, and he started to started a clinic, but he clashed with the government for opening a clinic when he was not a physician. But the real movement started in the 40s. When my father returned to Egypt from France, you know, he graduated from Cairo University in the first batch in 1929. And then he was sent to France to study psychology and logic by the government. And he got his degree from the Sorbonne. And then he met with Georges Dumas, who was an analyst, and he understood from him that he should be studying in medical school to become a psychoanalyst. He was interested in becoming a psychoanalyst, so he veered into the medical school and he studied medicine in Lyon. When he graduated, he returned to Egypt, and he was appointed by Taha Hussein to become an adjunct professor of psychology in Alexandria University, where he met Mustafa Safwan as his student, and Sami Ali, who became, just students in Alexandria University, and they were impressed by psychoanalysis, and they became, two of the very renowned psychoanalysts in France. Of course, Mustafa Safwan is very well known as an analyst in France, with, he published a lot of books in French. And then in Arabic also, he was one of the first Egyptians to translate interpretation of dreams to Arabic, when there was a movement in the 50s to translate Freud into Arabic. Mustafa Safwan translated in the interpretation of dreams from the German language. So did Sami Ali. He translated three essays on sexuality. And there was a big movement of translation to the Arabic among Egyptian psychoanalysts. And one of them was not from the French school. His name was Ishaq Ramzi. And he graduated from the Tavistock Institute, and he translated on the pleasure principle. So there was the movement in the 40s for Egyptians to become psychoanalysts way before so many other countries. And there was this movement in translation to Arabic. Also, my father went back to France after the war has ended, the Second World War. And he took with him Mustafa Safwan to France to become an analyst. Thereupon, my father started his training analysis in France, and he was appointed as chef de clinique in Paris University. Until the year 49, he came back to Egypt, and he was appointed by Taha Hussein once again to found the new in the new university that was starting then, Ain Shams University, which was then called the Ibrahim University. He started the very first psychology section in Egypt, and he had a great friendship and camaraderie with Youssef Mourad, who was head of department in the Cairo University. And they published this a review, the it's a review in psychology. And he published his three essays on the psychosomatic medicine in this review. So he also taught and supervised several hundreds of masters and PhDs. Of course, mostly with a psychoanalytic impressions and reviews. And then, of course, I was impressed by my father. And maybe this was his desire, but now it's my desire to become an analyst and to continue his legacy. I started a group in Egypt, a reading group, and these candidates are being analyzed mostly by other Egyptians who live out of Egypt. So,
the fantastic history, and it's amazing that you're continuing the legacy through your work, and you continue to translate as well. When did you start the Cairo group, actually? What year did it start?
Well, I started it like 20 years ago, okay. But it wasn't, well established. And I contacted the international through an Egyptian who lives now in Florida. Her name is Afef Mahfouz. She's a member of the International in New York, and she helped me much. And the at that point, the director of the International, his name was Perdigao. He came to Egypt, and I presented him in Ain Shams University, and he gave us some lectures. But he, he said you can only be a reading group. So I looked for, other attachments, and then I worked on my own, all alone, maybe with the help of other Egyptians, but they don't live in Egypt.
Right. So you mostly do this work on your own. And you told me that you do some collaborations with a group in Lebanon, right?
Yes, yes.
Oh, that's fantastic.
They're Lacanians.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the reason I asked about the history of psychoanalysis in Egypt, obviously, because, with the full awareness of that your father, Dr. Mustafa Zewar, is considered by many the one who popularized psychoanalysis. Yes. And not only in Egypt, but also in the Arab world, right?
Yes.
As you know, in Omnia Shekri's book, The Arabic Freud, she does mention your father a number of times, but her focus is more on his colleague, Yusuf Murad. So the title of the book is in reference to Yusuf Murad, the co-founder of the Journal of Psychology, Magalat Ilm al-Nafs, that you mentioned. Therefore, one of the points of this interview is really to get at some of the information left out by El-Shekri, which is why I wanted to speak with you directly, because, you know, how else would people find out, especially if they don't know Arabic, right?
Yes.
So any thoughts on this book?
Yes, I think she didn't have enough information. Maybe she had only information about Yusuf Murad. Yusuf Murad, of course, was a great person, and you can hardly call him the Arabic Freud, because he was not a psychoanalyst, he was a psychologist. Yes, he worked with my father. Yes, he might have coined the Arabic word al-lashur, coming from the Sufist, Ibn
Arabi. That's the Arabic for unconscious, right?
Yes, we as Egyptians like to call it al-lashur. Other Arab countries call it al-lawa'i, which has the same meaning, but we like to, we prefer to call it al-lashur, as coined by Murad. But Murad was a psychologist, a child psychologist, pedagogue, the real psychoanalyst is not him.
Right. So the Arabic Freud title should go to Dr. Mustafa Zewar. That's the
because he started the movement in the Arab world.
And he taught many students that ended up, you know, becoming famous analysts, such as you mentioned Mustafa Safwan, but there's also Ahmed Fay, I believe, and others. So
yes.
It's
now, Sami Ali is very, very important in France.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And there was another Egyptian who was not mentioned very well. His name is Horace Wissa Wasif.
Mm-hmm.
He is a psychoanalyst and a psychiatrist, but unfortunately, he died very early in life.